Let us turn to the book of Mark, chapter 14 and verse 6. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14 and verse 6. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14 and verse 6. The Bible says, "And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me.'" Praise God. With the help of the Lord, the sermon is entitled "The Woman Who Recognized the King's Worth: A Lesson in Faith and Worship." Praise God. God does not want anyone to trouble a person who does a good work on him. Praise God. This is a way we can evaluate what someone is doing. Is their intention to bless Jesus? Is their intention to do a good thing to Jesus? We should not trouble such people. Rather, we should learn from them. Praise God. And today, I want us to learn from this woman who did a good work on Jesus. Let me first say, a person cannot do a good work on the Lord if a person does not recognize the worth of Jesus. And this is the crux of the problem. People today do not understand, they do not recognize the value of Jesus. This should be our sorrow. This should be our burden today, that the world recognize the value of Jesus. Hallelujah. Why do we pity people? Why do we groan for them? Why do we pray for them? It is because we recognize the value of Jesus. And let me tell you, once you recognize the value of Jesus, you become sorrowful because you realize something that the majority of the world does not realize, does not understand, does not value. A person who recognizes the value of Jesus cannot be the same. You become abnormal. You will do strange things in the eyes of other people. But it's only because we understood something which the majority have not understood. And that's why they will trouble you, because they do not see what you see. And this, in brief, is the story of this woman. Here is a woman who was not part of this invited crowd where Jesus was. Let me tell you, just because people are with Jesus, it does not mean that they know the value of Jesus. Let me repeat that. Just because we might be with Jesus, it could be that someone else who is not there may know the value of Jesus better than we do. Amen. It should make us both happy and sad. Happy because we should always be happy that there are people who value Jesus more than we do. Amen. But we should be sad because we are with Jesus. All those people there in that room with Jesus were really disturbed. They were not happy with what this woman did because they did not have the revelation of the value of Jesus like this woman had. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Lord Jesus increase our estimation of him, so we can sacrifice more for him, so we can do a greater work upon him. Praise God. This is what this message should lead us to pray for. You know, whenever you read the Bible, you should see a need that you should pray for. Hallelujah. If you don't see any need when you read the Bible, it means you are perfect. And God bless you. I hope I become perfect like you. Praise God. But when we read the Bible, we should see our own shortcoming, our own weakness. And this lady that we will talk about today, she showed everyone in that place their shortcoming. They were with Jesus. They heard him teach all the time. They saw his miracles, but they did not see his value as much as this woman did. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, there will be many Gentiles who will receive greater honor in heaven than the children of Israel. I'm not saying anything controversial. Jesus himself said about the faith of the Roman centurion, I have not seen such faith in Israel. See? There was a Roman soldier who had more faith than all the Israelites. Wow, praise God. Amen. And remember, the Roman was the colonizer. He was the enemy. But God, nobody can colonize God. Amen. Nobody has dominion over Jesus. So Jesus does not see such things. Praise God. Jesus could destroy the Roman army anytime. He told Pilate, I can bring 72,000 angels right now. It'll be the end of the Roman Empire. Jesus was not worried about colonization. He was not threatened by the armies of Rome. He came to save all people. Because today's colonizer will become tomorrow's colonized. Today's oppressed may become tomorrow's oppressor. This is the nature of human beings because we are sinners. May the Lord help us to understand this. So when you look at Jesus, Jesus never talked about such things. He's not afraid of colonizers. He knows kingdoms come and kingdoms go. But the kingdom of Jesus Christ will last forever. Amen. His kingdom will destroy every other kingdom. Amen. The government shall be upon his shoulder, not upon the shoulder of the Roman Empire. So Jesus was looking for someone. Doesn't matter whether you are Israelite. Doesn't matter whether you are Roman. He wants to see, do you know the value of Jesus? And the way you show that you know the value of Jesus is by how you serve him. Amen. If you see somebody who's so serious in their service to Jesus, and they sacrifice, you should know that this person knows the value of Jesus more than most people. Hallelujah. So don't be surprised when people don't take Jesus serious. They don't see his value. But the moment they see his value, they leave everything else. They focus on Jesus. They give the best of their resources, the best of their time, their mental and physical energy for Jesus. And this is what happened with this lady. Let's talk about this lady. We are not told her name. You see, it's the first interesting fact. Do you know that many of the people who have done the greatest service to Jesus have not been named in the Bible? But in heaven, we will know their name. Praise God. So it seems that there are people like this lady. We don't know her name. We don't know how she came to know about the value of Jesus. But there is another story. We should not mix it with this story. If another woman who had a bad character could have been Mary Magdalene, this is another woman. There are some Christians today whose names we don't know, brothers and sisters, but they know the value of Jesus more than us. Oh, hallelujah. And at the right time, they come and they do service to Jesus, the greatest honor to Jesus, which shocks us, which makes us feel ashamed. And such was this woman here. Hallelujah. What she did for Jesus has echoed through the centuries. Why? Because she honored Jesus Christ for who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Amen. She did not ask him for anything. Please understand this. Why is this woman great? She did not come to ask him for anything. She only came to say, I know you, who you are. I know your value. I know who you are. You are the Word made flesh. I know what you are doing in this world. You came to save me from my sins. And because of this, I don't need to talk. I will worship you in the best way that I can. Hallelujah. Praise God. The deeper the understanding you have of Jesus, the more you will do him honor. You will honor him in a way that generations will be talking about. Praise God. I pray that we will honor Jesus in a mighty way, in a way where everyone will talk about it before we die in Jesus' name. So everyone will have no doubt as to who, what we value most in this world. This woman made it clear that day, very clear, who is the center of her life. Praise God. Let's not forget that the people around Jesus were not happy with him. I'm sorry to tell you that if you are looking for approval, for the people close to Jesus to clap for you, it will not happen. Sometimes they will tell you, go away. Sometimes they act like they know Jesus better than Jesus knows you. They act like the gatekeepers of Jesus. Please, do not worry about them. In fact, do not even think about them. Don't look at them. Amen. Why? We are going to follow the example of this woman. She's our teacher. Do you want to know how to worship Jesus and make Jesus happy with your worship? Then follow this lady. She did not knock on the door. Excuse me. Can I speak to Peter? If not Peter, is John there? If John is not there, what about James? Sorry that I, a woman, want to come in. I know that you men are doing some very important business. She did not speak like this. She did not care, hallelujah, what business they're doing. Because the business of worshiping Jesus is the greatest business for us, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is always ready to receive worship. It is his number one job, hallelujah, for us. Because it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. So Jesus is never in a meeting busy to say, sorry, can you come back with your worship tomorrow? No. You can break down the door and come in. Doesn't care who, doesn't matter who's there. Even if Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah and Abraham and the seraphim, he will tell them, move aside. My child has come to worship me. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is why we love to worship Jesus. Every time you worship, you feel like as if Jesus has pushed everybody aside and said, let me watch. Let me see how David is dancing with all his might. Praise God. Let's watch. Amen. Hallelujah. Look, look, look. Abraham is building an altar. Praise God. Let's dance with David. Praise God. This is our privilege. This is our business. Amen. Amen. Nobody is going to tell you to come back tomorrow. I want to worship him now. I will worship him now. Praise God. The door to the throne of Jesus is always open for those who are ready to worship him. Oh, hallelujah. Do you feel like worshiping him right now? Can we worship him? I'm telling you, Jesus will remove everything, put away every business and say, worship. Hallelujah. Can we lift up our hands for a moment? Let's say we worship you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We recognize your value, Jesus. Amen. There is no door strong enough to keep us away from worshiping you. There is no angel strong enough to keep us from coming and worshiping you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt worship him and him only. Praise God. We worship you, King of Kings, Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. With all our heart, mind, and soul, we worship you right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say with me, I have the right of way to worship Jesus. Say, I have the right of way. If you drive a car, you know what that means. You know, when you have the right of way on the road, you drive like the king, isn't it? You drive like you are the president himself, isn't it? You see cars coming from the right and left, and you don't even look at them. You know they're supposed to stop. I have the right of way. You yield, yield. So when we are going to worship Jesus, everything will yield. Amen. You have the right of way, praise God. So this woman came to worship Jesus. She has the right of way. Because all these other guys, what are they doing, by the way? They're sitting and arguing with him. They are discussing. I don't know what they were discussing with him. But worship Jesus. And everyone will yield. Praise God. Everyone will be silent. Praise God. Hallelujah. For the worshiper. May we become worshipers of Jesus. May we become worshipers of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when the devil came to Eve and began to talk, she should have worshipped God. Isn't it? What somebody said, well, what should she have done? Just start to worship him. Hallelujah. And then she can open eyes and say, devil, would you like to join with me to glorify God? Hallelujah. He's going to run away, isn't he? Because he doesn't do that. He stopped doing that a long time ago. So when the devil troubles you, tries to talk with you or to tempt you, just worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Tell your problem, would you like to worship Jesus with me? Come, I'm going to worship Jesus. I'm telling you, everything leaves you. Praise God. Because worshiping Jesus brings you in front of the throne of Jesus. And that which is not worshiping will disappear, will run away. Praise God. The fastest rocket which will take you to the throne of Jesus is worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. And everything else leaves. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, this woman was not welcomed. Nobody expected her to come there. This is the problem with the world. They will never welcome you and to come to Jesus. Even those who were near Jesus. Somehow they thought that what they were doing with Jesus is more important than what she was doing. No, no, no. And you see, that day, she thought them all these scribes, all these apostles, an unknown woman, gave them the one of the best Bible studies in their lives. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. It is not always talking which is the best way to serve Jesus. It's action, hallelujah. One action can overshadow. We don't know what they would do. How many words were exchanged? But one action from this woman shut down everything. Praise God. May the Lord make us people of action, not just only talk. Hallelujah. So let's talk about this action itself. Let me tell you, let me go straight to the core of this message, which is powerful. Why this woman was given this audience immediately before the Lord? Why the Lord rebuked everybody and blessed them? You know why? This woman somehow knew something which none of the people knew. She knew that Jesus, she believed rather, because Jesus was saying it, but nobody's believing. She believed that Jesus was going to die for our sins, for her sins, for everybody's sins. So when she heard him say that, she said, what's the best way to honor him? What can I do? He's doing everything for us. I believe he's going to die for my sins. So you know what idea she came about? Before he dies, let me prophetically show him that I believe he will die for my sins. I'm not going to wait for when he dies and they take down his body to apply spices, etc. It's too late. I will apply the ointment for his burial before he goes to the cross. Now shout hallelujah. Because Jesus said this, not me. Jesus said, she did this for my burial. Do you think he was exaggerating or he was? Why is he saying that? I asked him, why did he say this? Because it was true. She brought, do you know that this ointment is to actually to apply on the dead bodies of people you love deeply? It was even applied on royalty and rabbis. So here we have, brothers and sisters, one person in Israel, a woman who believed Jesus is going to die for her. The apostles heard it. They did not believe. She heard it. She went and she did something about it. Hallelujah. Can you understand this woman's faith? Do you see it in a new light? Praise God, praise God. This is powerful. Hallelujah. This is powerful. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I did not see it before. I had to meditate carefully. And then I saw everything fit together. This woman, why is she getting him something which you put on people's body after they die? Because she had faith. She knew he's going to die for her sins. Hallelujah. So she was a Mary Magdalene before the death of Jesus. She anointed his body. The next time a woman put something on his body is after his death. But before his death, there was a woman. Oh, hallelujah. Can we worship him? Praise God. Brothers and sisters, listen to me carefully. Jesus is coming back. If you believe it, what are you doing by faith? What can this woman motivate you to do by faith? Amen. To prove to everybody, I believe Jesus is coming back soon. Oh, hallelujah. There was one woman in Israel who proved that she believed Jesus is going to die for her sins. Hallelujah. And that's why nobody could stop her. You remember when Peter said to Jesus, this shall not happen to you. When Jesus said he's going to Jerusalem, he will die. Peter said, this will not happen. It was Satan speaking. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. So if a person says Jesus is not going to die, get behind me. But this woman said, Jesus is going to die. Jesus said, welcome. Amen. Put your oil upon my feet, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. This is amazing. It is powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless this woman. Hallelujah. So You see, when you come to honor the value of Jesus and what he's going to do for you. Amen. She said, I cannot help him to die. I cannot help him to take away my sins. But I can buy the most expensive oil that I can, which will cost me many years of hard work. Because what is that compared to what he's doing for me? What is that compared to what he's doing for me? I will show my appreciation for Jesus, this great work he has done for me. Amen. This is not something cheap that he has done. Salvation is not cheap. The cost for our sins is not cheap. So she brought the best that she could get. Amen. To honor the blood of Jesus, the death of Jesus for her sins. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please do not cheapen the salvation of Jesus in your life. Show people how expensive it is. Show people how expensive it is. Praise God. When people see us sacrificing to Jesus, they will say, truly, Jesus means a lot for these people. What is this great thing Jesus did for them that they are always honoring him with the greatest, lavishing him with so many expensive gifts? Oh, praise God. We are not bought with corruptible things such as gold and silver, but with the blood, hallelujah, of the Lamb, hallelujah. The incorruptible, the holy blood of the Lamb, praise God, hallelujah. So this woman provoked strong reactions, disapproval from the disciples, and especially Judas Iscariot. He was there. Now, you know Judas Iscariot, isn't it? Judas was consumed with monetary calculations. And immediately, so to speak, he took out his calculator to calculate the cost. He looked at the brand of the oil. He started to punch numbers on his calculator. And he said, after some time, he gave the cost of this ointment. It says in John chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Have you noticed that the world always knows the cost of everything except Jesus? Let me repeat. The world knows the cost of everything except the cost of Jesus. How come Judas's calculator did not tell him how much Jesus costs? Because there is no calculator in the world which can compute the cost of Jesus. Praise God. But everything else has a number, isn't it? We live in a world of statistics. 500 people died today. The bread prices have gone up by 30%. Wages have fallen by 30%. Inflation has gone up by 60%. If there is one thing the world is experts in, it is to give you numbers, statistics. But the one statistic, the one number they never give you is, what is the cost of Jesus? What is the cost of Jesus, brothers and sisters, is my question to you. How much will you give for Jesus? Hallelujah. It's a big question. We should cry when we hear such a question. It's like Pilate putting Jesus in front of the whole of Israel and saying, what is the cost of this man? Hallelujah. What is the cost of this man? What is his value? He means everything to us. He means everything to us. When is the last time you checked the cost of Jesus? When is the last time you looked at the value of Jesus? How many other things have become valuable for us? But we have stopped looking at the cost of Jesus, the value of Jesus. So have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is Jesus precious for you? Can you close your eyes for a moment? Can you ask yourself this question honestly? Is Jesus precious for us? What does he mean for us? Does he mean everything? Can we give up the world for Jesus? Can we leave everything for Jesus? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I pray Jesus still means everything to us, like he meant everything to this woman. Oh, hallelujah. Please make sure nothing else is more valuable than Jesus. We cannot take out a calculator to calculate what somebody is giving to Jesus. Listen to what Judas Iscariot is saying. How wicked is this man's heart? There is nothing we can bring for Jesus which is sufficient for Jesus, which we can say is worthy of Jesus. Nothing. Bring the whole universe together, it's nothing compared to Jesus. This will tell you how wicked the heart of Judas Iscariot was. He put the value of this thing. He gave us the value. He gave us the number. But he never gave us the value. What was the value for him of Jesus? Later, he gave a value of Jesus. 30 pieces of silver. You see, when you begin to put a price on things which are brought to Jesus, then you begin to put a price on Jesus after some time. Ah, please note this down. Never put a price on anything you bring for Jesus. It's nothing, because Jesus is worth so much. For Judas, Jesus was not worthy of the sacrifice of this woman. Jesus is not worthy of 300 pence, he said. Why are you wasting it, he said. My goodness. And we wonder why this man, the devil, entered into him. Please never ask this question. It's clear why the devil entered into him. This man is with Jesus for 3 years. And he's saying that the oil is wasted on Jesus. Are you with me? This tells you where the problem is. When we begin to calculate and we say, oh, somebody comes. That's why I have never liked when somebody says, oh, so-and-so gave $500. So-and-so gave $50,000. Please, we don't need numbers. Because it cannot compare to the value of Jesus. We thank God for what you bring. But it's nothing compared to Jesus. It's nothing. We should be ashamed to mention it, because Jesus is worth infinitely, infinitely more than anything we can bring. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is worthy of Isaac. He is worthy of all sacrifices. He is worthy of everything. Our tithes, our energy, our labor, our thoughts, our tears, even our blood, everything he is worthy to get. Praise God. Let us never make this mistake of Judas. When we start to put price on what is okay for Jesus. No, no, no. Then we are becoming disciples of Judas Iscariot in the name of Jesus. Let Jesus be priceless. Say with me, let Jesus be priceless. Priceless. That means you cannot put a price tag on it. You go to the shops, everything is available for a price except Jesus. Amen. Except Jesus. You cannot put a price on Jesus. He's the only one upon whom we cannot put a price tag, brothers and sisters. Any price tag you try to apply to Jesus, it will disappear. It will fall down. It will not stick on him. Jesus has no price. He's above price. He's priceless. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this woman came. She believed that Jesus was going to die for her sins. So she bought the most expensive perfume oil that she could buy. Because she had faith he's going to die for her sins. She was probably the only person who believed he was going to go to the cross. That's why Jesus said, she did it for my burial. Amen. He's not exaggerating. It's the truth. Nobody believed he was going to die. They came with these things after his death, the other women. This is the only woman who brought an ointment before his death. Oh, hallelujah. You see, it's like me now coming with some gift, saying, Jesus has returned, hallelujah. Now I'm going to honor his. It's too late, my friend. You have to show that you believe Jesus will return today, right now, before he comes. How are you proving it? How are you showing it? This woman showed that she believed Jesus would die before he died. With this ointment. Why did she bring this ointment? This ointment is only for burial. Why will you bring somebody a gift that is for their burial unless you believe the person is going to die? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we say hallelujah? What a great woman this woman was. And yet we don't know her name. But Judas Iscariot took out his calculator, so to speak, and he starts to calculate 300 pence, and he says, this is waste. And that's why the devil entered into him. In the name of Jesus. There is nothing in the universe which there is no price that we can say Jesus is worthy of this. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Whatever we do for him, it's nothing. Don't put a price on it. Never say it's wasted. No. We should always pray, Lord, forgive me that I have not honored you as I should. I have not brought gifts worthy of who you are. In the name of Jesus. The wise men brought gifts of gold, of myrrh and frankincense. It was the best that they could afford. Bring the best that you can afford for Jesus, because salvation is not cheap. We are bringing it not for no only for one reason, because we know my salvation is precious, it is costly. Hallelujah. Amen. When somebody tells you, how much are you willing, how much money are you willing to take to leave Jesus? Okay, let's talk about it. Do you have a priceless amount, infinite amount? And so what do you mean? Basically, the blood of Jesus is more than gold and silver. So I can leave Jesus if you pay the price. And the price is infinite. It's priceless. That means there's no amount of money in the universe which can equal the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is good news. So we can leave this idea behind. Praise God. So Judas put a price on this ointment, and later he put a price on the body of Jesus. Remember what I said, be careful with people who put price on everything. The people who are always going with a calculator and calculating, statistics people who have a number for everything. I've always said, how come they have a number for everything and they don't see the value of Jesus in Jesus' name? They say, well, I love numbers. Yes, so tell us, what about Jesus? What is Jesus worth for you? What is he worth? I asked you earlier, what is Jesus worth for you? Say everything. Say everything. Everything. You take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You take the whole world, sing with me, but give me Jesus. You take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Praise God. Amen. Are you happy that you know the value of Jesus? Nothing compares. There's no price. Judas was aware of the cost of earthly treasure, but he was blind to the value of the heavenly treasure on this earth. You know why you cannot put a price on Jesus? Because he's not of this world. He told us that in John 8, 23 and 24. He said, you are from beneath, I'm from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. You cannot put a price tag on something from above. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The word of God is not for sale. That is why I was not happy when I saw the president of the USA signing Bibles and selling them for $600. How is that correct? You cannot put a price on the word of God in Jesus' name. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen. Praise God. We will never take a dollar for any of our messages, our website. Everything we do free for Jesus. I'm happy to tell you, I have never taken $1 for one message, even one book. 12 books we've written in Jesus' name. He said, pay the cost, pay whatever you want to pay, give it to the church so the work of God will continue. But we do not make business of the kingdom of God. And I don't appreciate business in the house of God. We should not be selling and buying in the house of God. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. Amen. Let the house of God be a house of prayer. So this woman came, she broke the bottle, she began to, and Judas was angry. Let me tell you, when you really worship Jesus truly, then the hearts of people will be exposed. A true worshiper always will cause disturbance. You said, huh? What do you mean? Yes. When this woman worshiped from her heart, what happened? At that time, Judas said, this is waste. When David began to worship God with dance, Milcah, his wife, what did she say? Michal, his wife, what did she say? You look like a fool. True worship will always expose the false worshipers. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Are you getting it now? When you truly worship, be careful. Don't think everybody will be worshiping with you. At that time, the Judases will come out. He was quiet. You know, normally Judas is quiet. He doesn't say anything. Have you ever heard Judas say anything? But when this woman worshipped, then Judas reacted. Do you want to, if you are looking to know who are the Judases in the church, just worship. Do you want to know who is the Mishal in the church? Just can't worship. They will come out. God have mercy. Oh, hallelujah. This is not part of my message. God is speaking. God is saying something. That is why sometimes when I'm alone, I like to worship alone. Amen. And the house, pray alone. You see, When you truly worship, there is disturbance in the spiritual world. There is disturbance. Demons get confused. They scream. They want to hold their ears. They say, be quiet, shut up. All kinds of things happen. Before this woman came, everything was peaceful around Jesus, isn't it? But the moment a true worshiper came, what happened? Chaos. As long as David is quiet, by the way, even the first time, was David not worshiping? Yes. And then Uzzah touched. See, when we are getting close to God, don't be surprised. Strange things begin to happen. Yeah? Am I not right? Shall I continue to reveal the word of God and show you amazing things? Was it not when Abel, the first worshiper, came to worship with a... What happened? What happened when Abel worshiped? Cain became mad. Do you see the pattern in the Bible? Worship is dangerous. It provokes something in the spiritual realms. I can go on and on to show you. Sometimes you get angry in the church. Today we are having a, we feel the Spirit of God, but something is hindering. Why is that sister not happy? Why is that brother getting angry? Worship can become dangerous. It can expose Judas Iscariot. It can expose Mishal. It can expose Cain in Jesus' name. All of this happened during worship. Can somebody say, in Jesus' name, I will still worship. Say, I will still worship. I will still worship. Praise God. I don't care about Cain. I don't care about Judas. I am going to worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Worship will reveal something around you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody will take out their calculator when you're worshiping. Somebody will start to sharpen their knife when you are worshiping like Cain. And even a wife became angry with her husband when he started to worship. You see? Worship divides families. Worship divides churches. Worship is powerful in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Satan fell, became Satan because he didn't want to worship. He wanted to worship for himself and he fell. Like I started today by saying, this woman entered. She didn't ask for permission. She already knew that the people around Jesus are not going to be happy. She didn't ask them their permission. She believed Jesus is going to die for her. She was the only one. Do you know that sometimes when you're the only one who believes something and nobody believes it, not even the apostles, why will you talk to anybody? There's nothing to talk to anybody. Just do it in Jesus' name. Believe it and do it. God spoke to Abraham. Who is he going to talk to? You know, Abraham had no human leader. He has no pastor. He has no priest. For a little while, he got Melchizedek. But it was very for a little while. How are you going to manage Abraham with no pastor, with no priest? You will not make it. Listen, there is nobody in the world who believes like me. I'm alone, but I'm not going to sit and do nothing. I will just go in Jesus' name. I will do it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Don't be afraid to be alone for Jesus if there's nobody else. Don't wait till there's somebody called Peter, James, and John. Just do it. Hallelujah. So this woman, imagine her, watch her going and buying the ointment. When she bought it, they must have said, oh, I'm so sorry. Somebody important died. No, she must have said, somebody, the most important person is going to die for our sins. That's what I'm buying this burial oil for. This oil was for burial. You don't apply it to just anyone. She believed Jesus is going to die for her sins. What a great woman. What great faith. Hallelujah. She doesn't need to talk to anybody. Nobody believes it. Peter is saying, This will not happen to you, Jesus. Get thee behind me, Satan. So to one he said, get thee behind me. But to this woman, open the door. Let her come. Hallelujah. Don't trouble her. She did this great work upon me. Hallelujah. There's a time we don't talk to people. They won't understand. You have the revelation. You go. You do what you must do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But I don't have a pastor. Well, Abraham didn't have a pastor. I don't have a priest. Abraham did not have a priest. Did God speak to you? Did you get the revelation of who Jesus is? Do you know how valuable he is? Just go, my daughter, and do him this honor. And this act that you've done will be recorded in the word of God forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? What a great woman. What a great faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, while she's putting the oil on the feet of Jesus, she's not listening to the price of the oil. She doesn't need Judas to tell her what the oil cost. 300 pence. Might have just as well told him, shut up, Judas. I don't. Who asked you for the price of this oil? You don't care about Jesus. You know, Judas puts a price on everything. The bottle, 300 pence. Jesus, 30 silver pieces. Well, what business do we have talking to such people? When you begin to worship Jesus, you will hear strange things. People may not like how you are worshiping. Like Cain, like Michal, the wife of David. Don't think everybody's going to clap for you. In the church, they may begin to say bad things about you, dislike you. Excuse me, that's not how we sing the song. You are disturbing our worship. Excuse me, why did you wear that shirt? It's disturbing my eyes. Excuse me, you're not playing the keyboard as I normally like to play. And that's why this weekend I did not worship Jesus, because you played the keyboard in a bad way. And did you see how she was worshiping, the way she was shouting hallelujah? It disturbed me. All these are the Judases in the church. God have mercy. Listen, the worship is not for us. When somebody is worshiping, let us worship with them. When somebody in heaven said something to Jesus, all the 24 elders fell down and said, amen, hallelujah. Are we greater than the 24 elders? I preached about them not long ago. Our job is to say, amen, hallelujah. And the best thing you can do is close your eyes, fall down on the ground. Then you don't have to worry about all these strange comments. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This woman is teaching us how to worship. Amen. She's not distracted by what Judas is saying. She's not distracted by anybody. Worship is holy. Worship belongs to Jesus only. Worship should not be discussed with anybody else. It is not negotiable. Worship is for Jesus. Worship is from my heart to his heart. Say, from my heart to his heart. It's nothing to do with anybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's holy. Say, holy for Jesus. If I don't worship him, I will die. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't live if I don't worship him. He made us to worship him. To bring the best gifts we have to give him. I have a need to worship him, this woman was saying. Praise God. I must bring my gift to him. Praise God. There are some gifts we do not send through somebody else. We can never say, can you give this gift to Jesus from me? Take it to Jesus. Praise God. This woman took her gift straight to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So we cannot value, put a price on things more than the Messiah himself. Hallelujah. This woman saw only the worth of Jesus. And that's why, brothers and sisters, that is why finally Jesus gave her this compliment. In Matthew 26, 13, he said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world." See, in the whole world. I'm preaching to you about this woman from Norway, 2,000 years later. You are spread, some are in Canada, some are in different countries in Europe, some are even in India. God bless them who came from India. So Jesus said, "Wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." See, she wanted to give a memorial for the death of Jesus, and Jesus gave the blessing back to her. Ah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Her alabaster box of expensive ointment became a symbol of worship and faith, inspiring generations to honor Jesus directly and passionately. Amen. While the others were complaining and criticizing, Jesus said, "She did a good work on me." Good work on Jesus. Praise God. This was a prophetic worship. She was worshiping for his burial. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Her act was private. It was bold. It was sacrificial. She did not expect the approval of religious leaders or the apostles or even her peers. You will not know what true worship is until you only worship Jesus. Amen. Never come to worship Jesus in the church looking at whether the pastor will smile or the pastor will say, "Bless you," or somebody. Don't ignore them. May they become invisible in Jesus. Worship is not for anyone else. It's not for anyone to see you worshiping. Amen. It's between you and Jesus. Hallelujah. If you worship Jesus in private, when you close your door, with power, with love, with passion, then it's not a problem to worship him in the church. But if you worship him in church in front of others with passion and power, and you don't do it at home, that's hypocrisy. That is hypocrisy. We want to worship him the same everywhere. Hallelujah. She knew that her worship is only for Jesus. It's not for anybody else. So since it's not for anybody else, it doesn't matter what they say. Amen. It doesn't matter what they say. What matters is what Jesus says. Romans 14 verse 4 says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth." Amen. Who are we to judge another man's servant? Our worship must be judged by Jesus, not by any human being. Amen. Hallelujah. It reminds me of the worship of David, whom I mentioned earlier. You know, like this woman, David was despised by everyone. You see? Even his brothers said, "What are you doing here?" When he came, when he heard Goliath speaking and he was angry. "What are you doing here? You are full of mischief," you see. So we have to understand that David, like this woman, had a relationship with God. He's not trying to, you know, discover something, some new relationship with God when he saw Goliath. He's coming with what he was doing before. He was a worshiper in Bethlehem. He doesn't like to hear such things, blasphemy against his God. He said, "No, no, no. If I do not allow a lion to eat the sheep and a bear to eat the sheep," because remember, this is symbolic. The sheep represent the people of God. The lion and the bear represent demons. David never allowed demons to touch his sheep, so to speak. And he's not going to allow Goliath to do this with the sheep of God. Amen. Praise God. Simple logic. He said, no, no, no. The God I worship in Bethlehem, he has power. He killed the bear. He killed the lion. What do you think he's going to do with this man? Amen. So he's not coming with expecting to worship now. He's coming with the power of his worship from Bethlehem. Say, I have years of worship in my belt, so to speak. Amen. I'm sure this lady who came with the alabaster box, she's already a worshiper at home. Do you think she just started to worship that day? No, no, no. She's a woman who loves Jesus. She has worshiped him powerfully. Brother, sister, your secret weapon is how you live every day, how you worship Jesus every day. That's your weapon. It works in Bethlehem. It works when you come to Goliath. It works everywhere. So he tried to explain to them, listen, y'all don't understand. Y'all are looking at me now, but y'all don't understand my qualifications. Let me share with you my CV. Look at my CV. Amen. I am a worshiper of Jehovah for many years. Hallelujah. When I worship him, nobody defeats me. And this Goliath is not going to defeat us. Praise God. It took a worshiper to defeat Goliath, not a warrior. He didn't have proper weapons. God is trying to show us something. It is the weapon of worship which defeated Goliath. Hallelujah. David came and he refused to wear the weapons of King Saul. Why? Because those weapons of worship have no power. Do not try to borrow somebody else's way of worshiping. It may not have power. Ah, somebody say, oh, hallelujah. I got something. I hope so. Do not try to worship like other people. Your worship is your power in Jesus. He put on the worship of Saul and he said, this is not good worship. I don't feel power. I don't feel worship in Jesus. Have you seen people who try to sing like somebody else in the church? Or they try to preach like somebody else in the church. They try to have the same intonation, the same melody, the same body language. Excuse me. Do not try to put on Saul's armor. It does not work. Saul is not a worshiper. Goliath will kill you. Praise God. It'll become quiet when I say such things. But say hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Pastor, lay your hand on my head, because if I lay my hand on my head, there is no power. Why is there no power? Jesus said, what did he say in Mark? If you believe, you will speak in new tongues. You will tread upon scorpions. Huh? Hallelujah. Is he speaking to pastors or is he speaking to everybody? So when people don't have the weapons, they want to borrow somebody else's weapons. Can you have faith in Jesus? This woman is not a Levite. She's a woman. She's going straight to the Holy of Holies, to Jesus. Jesus is the Holy of Holies. She doesn't care that she will die or the rabbi will stop or the priest or doesn't. Go straight to him. Hallelujah. Trust in your worship of Jesus. In Jesus. Say, I know him. I've worshipped in the Holy of Holies. I know he accepts me. I know he hears my prayer. I will go to him. Hallelujah. Like Bathsheba went to Solomon. Like Esther went to King Ahasuerus. I know he will not kill me when I go to him. Oh, hallelujah. I know he will not kill me. What is your confidence? I have been there before. Many times before, David is saying. He gave me power. Nobody will kill me, praise God. In Jesus' name. Then go to the king. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Hallelujah. That's why David was not killed by God. But Uzzah was killed by God. Uzzah is not a worshiper. He has never been there before. But David has been in the Holy of Holies through worship. Hallelujah. So David said to King Saul, thank you, but no thank you. If I wear your garments of worship, I will be killed. I trust the garments of worship that I've been having for many years in Bethlehem. Praise God. If I put on your garments, God will not be happy with me. God will say, excuse me, David, was I not with you when you slapped the bear and slapped the lion? Which sword did you have? Which weapons were you wearing? Why are you now coming with this false weapons? Amen. Please learn to worship Jesus by yourself. Experience the power of worship, the joy of worship. Let it be your confidence. Amen. Don't try to copy others. That's their recipe. That is their dish. You have your dish, your recipe. It works for me. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, praise God. As long as your worship brings you before the throne of Jesus, be happy. Hallelujah. So the woman poured her ointment upon the feet of Jesus. Just in the same way David's sling and his stone was his worship, his alabaster box, praise God. And both of them, one goal, so to speak, they struck with their worship. Hallelujah. Amen. She saw Jesus as a worthy sacrifice. Say, Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of this honor. Hallelujah. She was anointing him for the day he would ride into Jerusalem and they would shout, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hallelujah. She was anointing him with this oil so that he will be coronated as king. Praise God. Amen. Her anointing was like a prophetic declaration that Jesus deserves royal honor. Amen. Not only after his resurrection, but even now, hallelujah, before he goes into Jerusalem. Who will anoint him before he goes to Jerusalem? Praise God. Shall we anoint Jesus before he comes as King and Lord of the earth? Shall we anoint him with our worship? Say, I will anoint him. Say, I will put the crown upon his head. Before he comes, praise God. Jesus, we anoint you as our King. The King of the universe, praise God. Each time we worship him, we are anointing to be king, to come, hallelujah, as the Alpha and Omega, praise God, hallelujah. That's why nobody can stop Jesus from coming. 2,000 years, his people have been anointing him with worship to come. 2,000 years, they're shouting, Maranatha, Maranatha, hallelujah. We have put enough crowns upon Jesus. He's coming back. Hallelujah. Praise God. More than enough. I mean, we've put, but it's not enough. But he has to come and reign to fulfill the expectation of his people, to fulfill the worship of his people. Praise God. This woman was a prophetess in her own right because she believed Jesus is going to die for our sins, that he will rise up again. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this belief transcends boundaries, transcends denomination, transcends all divisions, praise God, hallelujah. It defeated the terrible words of Judas, hallelujah. It was a symbol of her faith, her love, her prophetic understanding that Jesus was soon going to become the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. But he's a lamb slain for mankind. A truth that no one else had yet grasped to the full as she did. Hallelujah. This woman's form of worship transcended the physical. She poured out her best because she knew Jesus deserves nothing less. This costly gift was a form of honor that could not be bought or sold. Her love and devotion were her true offering. Amen. And this is the core of this message. When you truly recognize the worth of Jesus, you will be willing to sacrifice everything, your time, your resources, even your reputation, to honor him. Hallelujah. She teaches us that genuine worship is not measured by worldly standards, but by the sincerity of your heart and the divine approval that it will draw from Jesus. Hallelujah. In contrast, Judas's critique was rooted in greed and spiritual blindness. He evaluated everything through the prism of money, isn't it? Completely failing to understand that spiritual riches that Jesus embodied, praise God. I pray in conclusion, we will not be blind like Judas. Judas is educated in numbers. He was educated to know the cost of the ointment. He was a good mathematics student, but he was blind to the value of the one he betrayed. What good is it to be a mathematician and you know the value of everything, but you don't know the value of Jesus? God have mercy. This is the attitude of many people today, and sometimes it comes into the church. Possessions, status, wealth are valued more than spiritual wealth and divine fellowship. Let us repent if we have undervalued Jesus. I started by asking the question, what is the value of Jesus to you? Hallelujah. What is the value of Jesus to us? Hallelujah. I hope we can answer infinite. There's no price, priceless. No price you can put on Jesus. That's why it's nothing to leave everything for Jesus. It is nothing. It should be nothing. Hallelujah. I thank God that we can worship him today before he returns. The way we worship, the way we talk about him, don't you think that Jesus will have a new book in heaven for everyone who has served him? If this woman's name, her name is not there, but her act is in his book, don't you think Jesus knows how you are worshiping? How you are spiritually anointing his body today. Hallelujah. Let us be ahead of our time like this one. We believe he's coming back. That's good. This woman believed Jesus would die, but she did something about it. What about us? What can we do? Amen. What can we do to honor Jesus? You know, David did not want to use sword and military weapons because those weapons would get the glory. But he knew that if he uses a sling and a stone, only God will get the glory. Because how can you kill a giant with a sling? Even he said, am I a dog? You come out, do you think I'm a dog? Because you come with sticks and stones. Amen. So David did not want God to lose even 10% of the glory. What about us today? What is your alabaster box? What are you willing to sacrifice or pour out to honor Jesus? What is your sling and your stone? Hallelujah. What is the little lamb like Abel that you will bring to worship him? Where is your Isaac that you take to Mount Moriah? What do you have to prove to Jesus that you worship him and you treat him like God? Amen. Abraham did his part. Hallelujah. He showed the whole world. God will not accept somebody to worship him if you don't worship him like God. Hallelujah. Amen. David's sacrifice was himself even. He knew he will die because he would be crushed by this giant. He's willing to sacrifice himself. He told everybody, God does not deliver with swords. Amen. You will see it. That's why God had to respond. Hallelujah. What about you? Amen. What is your alabaster box? What is your evidence that you believe Jesus is God? Is it just going to church and going to conference and telling people, I believe Jesus is the one true God? Really? Do you really, just by saying it? Is that enough? What have you done to prove that he is the one true God? What have you done to show? Because tomorrow, if somebody puts a gun to your head, God forbid, I hope that will not happen. What will you say? Is there anything you have done? I'm not saying go and now put yourself in great danger, but be sure God expects something. He's not going to put you in danger. He didn't put this woman in danger. He's just in a house with his apostles, and she found him. She came. She proved to everybody what she believes about him. You see, it's not something dangerous. Praise God. How do we show he is God? I thank God every day. On my part, please don't misunderstand. I'm only saying this to glorify him, because I'm asking myself the question. And I know since the age of 15, God put me in a position where I had to prove to everyone, to myself, that Jesus is God. Because when you come from my background, you don't have a choice. You either say, I will be a Christian, and then you expect to die. Just by saying, I'm a Christian, I believe Jesus is God, I saw him, I was put in the situation of Abraham. You have to show everybody. You cannot hide. When I read the Bible, he said, if you do not confess me before men, I will not confess you before the Father. And I had no choice. I was not even ready. I didn't know the Bible. Imagine being persecuted because I said Jesus is God, and I haven't read the Bible properly yet. Many Christians have read the Bible, they have been in the church, they know everything, and they still deny that Jesus is God. But God put me in a situation I knew. If I say Jesus is God, that is my worship. That's my alabaster box. Amen. After that, I have nothing. I was going to lose everything. My family could say, We do not support a kafir anymore. Leave us. Leave my house, kafir. I was ready for that. I gave my alabaster box to Jesus at the age of 15. And next year will be 40 years, I've said. 40 years, I have been receiving the blessings of that alabaster box. Amen. So don't be afraid. It's my testimony to encourage you. When you come and worship Jesus with that alabaster box, the smell filled the room. It was a beautiful perfume. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus was honored. And that worship disturbed some people's noses, like Judas. Maybe others were happy. Like I said, it's not for the others. It's for Jesus. And I'm sure that that woman was blessed from that day. When you give your alabaster box to Jesus, you will be blessed forever and ever. Can we worship him? Let's close our eyes. Let's bring our alabaster boxes before Jesus. Let us tell him, Lord Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy of my alabaster box. You are worthy, Lord. Even it's nothing. It's too tiny a gift for you. It is really insignificant. But Lord, I've brought the best for you, the best for you. I hope my worship is my alabaster box. I pray it has cost me something, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, I anoint you with my alabaster oil. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We bless your holy name, my Lord. This message is even an alabaster anointing for you, Jesus, because you are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, Jesus, worthy of the best we can give you. Forgive us for our preaching not being good enough, Jesus. It should be better for you. Oh, my Lord, you deserve the best, the best, the best. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If we cannot wash your feet with our hands, with the oil, we will lift up our hands unto you and bless you with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. Jesus, we love you with everything in us. Jesus, you mean everything to us, Jesus. And help us to show that to ourselves, to the world, at every juncture that we can. Jesus, hallelujah. We bless you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, Jesus. Receive the praise, receive the blessing. My utmost for your highest, Jesus, my utmost for your highest. I glorify you, my King. I glorify you, my King. My Master, I worship you. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be your name forever. Blessed be your name forever, Jesus. Amen. Bless your people, Jesus. Bless everyone who's here in the name of Jesus. Stretch forth your hand upon them, my God. Hallelujah. As the alabaster is spreading in this place, Jesus, when we worship you, you bless your people back. I pray for your people. Bless everyone here. I pray their love for you will increase, Jesus. I pray they will see the value of Jesus. I pray they will love you more and more every day, Jesus. I pray, Jesus, that you bless them, hallelujah. Lord, let them know you. Let them value you. Let them live for you, Jesus. My God, hallelujah. Let them appreciate you like this woman, Jesus. Your people are precious, Jesus. We feel how much you love their souls, Jesus. You came and gave everything for the soul. You did not need to come in flesh, but you came in flesh. You sighed, you were insulted, offended. You took upon you the form of a servant. How can we comprehend this? The only way we can comprehend it is to understand how much you loved us, Jesus. Beyond comprehension, Jesus. My God, I exalt your name. I bless you with all my heart. Bless your people. Send your word into their lives, Jesus. Let their faith be strong, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let them know how much you love them, and let them know the thoughts that you have towards them, thoughts of peace, hallelujah, to give them an expected end, Jesus. Bless their homes, Jesus. Bless their minds, Jesus. Bless their bodies, Jesus. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding surround them like a hedge of Job, hallelujah. Protect them from the evil one. I rebuke, I take authority over the work of every evil demon that is working against your people. We bind every demon in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, release your people for every good work. Lord Jesus, make them witnesses for you. Fill them with your spirit, I pray you. Fill them with your power, I pray you, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give them a powerful witness. Hallelujah. Give them a tongue burning with your fire, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, heal the bodies that are sick in Jesus' name. I rebuke sleeplessness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah of Nazareth. I rebuke backsliding in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, who is richer, Lord God, hallelujah, who owns the silver and the cattle upon the mountains, I pray you supply every need of your people in the name of Jesus. When there was a famine in Egypt, Joseph and his family did not experience the famine. The famine is not for the people of God. Provide for them financially, Jesus. Work miracles for them, Jesus. Let them pay every bill without a problem, Jesus. Let there be food in abundance in their house, Jesus. Let their children fear you, Jesus. Let their children separate from bad company in the name of Jesus. Let their children come to the house of God. Let their children repent. Hallelujah. Let angels find them and bring them to the house of God in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Bless every person, I pray, in the name of Jesus. I pray under this anointing today in the glorious name of Yahshua HaMashiach. I bless your people in Jesus' name. And the church says amen. The church says amen. Hallelujah. Jesus bless each and every one of you. We thank the Lord. The power of Jesus is here.